Welcome,
Pick up these.
everyone. Thank you for attending the August 20th TCC meeting of the Coastal Region Metropolitan Planning Organization. I'm the TCC chairman, Mark Wilkes. I'm going to begin the meeting by calling the roll. I'm just going to go down the list and ask you to unmute yourself and indicate if you're present when I call your name. Charles Ackridge. Scott Allison. I believe that we heard from Scott. Pamela Bernard.
Hey, Mark, this is Nathaniel. I'm here for Pamela today.
For Pamela, okay. Kayla Brown.
Present.
Thank you, Kayla. Matt Saxon, City of Pooler. Ned Green, GDOT Planning.
I'm here.
Mark Denmark, Savannah Airport Commission. Is George sitting in for Mark?
Yes, George is here.
Welcome, George. Byron Cowart, I believe, is not here today, but do we have Troy Pittman for Byron?
Yeah, Troy's here. Byron is no longer with the department. He is.
Correct.
He's in prison, or correction, he works for the prison.
No, we heard about that. I don't know what that says if I jump ship to go to jail.
Yeah, nobody ever wants to see him again. We don't want to see him again. Not in that context.
All righty. Ron Feldner.
Mark, I'm here.
Great. Trent Long.
I'm here, Mr. Trent.
Don, I'm gonna mangle the last name. Don from the Coastal Regional Commission. Peter Gulbranson, I know, is here, correct?
Yes, I am.
Ashley Goodrich.
Here.
Melanie Wilson is not here, but I believe Pamela Everett is sitting in for her today.
I am. I'm here.
Welcome, Pam. Randy Whiteman, Georgia Ports Authority. Stephen Henry, City of Savannah.
Good afternoon, Mark. How are you?
Hi, Steve. Teresa Concannon, I believe, is here.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, do we have anyone from the town of Thunderbolt or Vernonburg? Okay, hearing none. We also have, let's see. I'm going to run down the list of the usual attendees. And if I get to the end and I haven't called your name, I'm going to ask you to speak out and let us know that you're here. Wycota Wong?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Michelle Strickland. Sally Helm. Anne Marie Day.
I'm here.
Leon Davenport.
Good afternoon.
Mary Mitchell.
Here.
Bryn Dice.
I'm here.
Charles Walker. We've got Nathaniel. Vivian is here. Tom McQueen is here. Do
Hello.
We have Kate Mor- Hi. Kate Morano. Nick Fazio. Jennifer Schildecker. I believe she's not a regular. Okay. And we have Julie on and Jackie Jackson. Jackie, are you still having technical trouble? Jackie is trying to get into the meeting. Is there anyone whose name was not called?
Mark, it's Scott Allison. I had some technical difficulties earlier, but I'm here.
Okay, I think we counted you present because we were aware. Okay, anyone else? Okay, that will conclude the call of attendance. The first item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. Do we have any revisions to the agenda? Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda as submitted? And please state your name when you make a motion for the people taking minutes today. Could I get a motion to approve the agenda?
That's Nathaniel, I'll give you a motion.
Okay, Nathaniel, move to approve. Do I have a second?
Second, George Fiddler second.
George Fiddler seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Okay, anyone opposed? Okay, the agenda stands as submitted. The first action item on the agenda is approval of the June 18th, 2020 Quorum POTCC meeting minutes. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes that were in the meeting materials? And if so, do we have any comments, corrections, or changes to recommend? Okay, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes as submitted.
So moved, George Fiddler.
Okay, we have a motion to approve. Do I hear a second?
Wycota, second.
Wait, now, procedurally, we do need to decide. Will Pam be voting, or will Wycota be voting for Melanie?
I would vote for Melanie. I apologize.
That's fine. I just want to keep for those that don't understand, the MPC executive director for many years was the chair of this committee. When we redid the bylaws in 2015, the chair became an elected position, but the MPC executive director, as well as myself, we are standing members of the committee.
Jumped out of a tree after the top of it.
Beg your pardon? Sorry. Anyway, don't forget to mute if you don't need to speak, it's probably better. So we were voting to approve the minutes. Was there any, we heard the votes. Was there anyone, we had a motion and a second. Lost my train of thought. So
Mark, if I cannot second, then Pam needs to second, right?
Right. Well, yes, right. I'll second it.
Okay.
I think I inferred that, but okay. So we have a motion and a second on the floor. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? Anyone opposed? Then the motion carries, the minutes stand approved. The next item is the fiscal year 2021 to 2024 Transportation Improvement Program project prioritization, and that is Wycota's. Wycota, do you need to share your screen with the
attendee? Yes, I do. Okay. I need to share my screen.
So, just letting Julie know.
Okay. Now, everybody knows that we are going to start development of the fiscal 2021 to 2024 TIP because our current TIP will expire on June 30th of next year. So as an early TIP development, we need to establish project priorities, and we were already prepared for it because we started the call for projects back in February, and then we got all the applications in March, and then the COVID-19 struck. The TCC did rank the HIP projects, and then this time they also ranked the Z230 and the Z301 projects. We only have priority, we only have the authority to prioritize the projects to be funded with these three pots of money. So I'm going to share with you the results of the prioritization. So last time we did let's just do the HIP When I did the calculation, I probably didn't use the digits. So that's why Tybee's US 80 bridges replacement and the Chatham County's I-16 at Jimmy Deloge Park, we tied as top one. But when I use the two digit, and you can see actually the I-16 ranked a little bit higher. Let me just move this a little bit over here. So you can see the I-16 at Jimmy Deloge Parkway ranked as 54.43, and the US 80 bridges replacement at 54, and then the Garden City's signal project at the State Route 21, the ranking is 44.13. So you can see this is a 1, 2, and 3. So some of these projects also applied for Z230 funds. So, and then I would just show you the Z230 fund project ranking. So for Z230, we actually received 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 applications. But one of those, actually, the City of Pooler project, this one, the Quaco Road project, actually this one is not eligible because this project is not included in the 2045 long-range transportation, the financially constrained long-range transportation plan. But I did send this to you all, so you all ranked it. So I just want to see what does look like. So at the end, this one actually ranked at the bottom, so it's number 7. And then another project, the Chatham County's Old River Road Improvement Project, which is not included in the cost band 1, ranked as number 6. So basically, the TCC member ranking really corresponds to what we have already developed for the 2045. So this one, the Old River Road, it was in cost band 2, and so now it's ranked as number 6. And then this Quaco Road widening from Pooler, it wasn't in the financial constraint plan, now it's ranked as number 7. And then the other 5 that you can see, US 80 bridges replacement actually ranked as number 1. And this one, so I-16 at Jimmy Deloge ranked as number 2. So basically these two are really close for both HIP funds and the Z230 funds. And number 3 ranked over here is the Priscilla Thomas, the Garden City's State Route 21 project. And then number 4 is City of Savannah's Traffic Control Center. And number 5 is the Chatham Air Transit project. So for all of these, and you can see at the bottom of my list, so who ranked this? Myself, Mark, Nathaniel and Pam, Ashley and Brian, and Kayla, Byron, and Jita Planning Net, Vivian, Steve from Savannah. And
hey, Carson. Cora.
Yeah.
Sorry to bother you. Can you freeze the first row so everybody can see which projects are we talking about as you talk about the the points?
How do I freeze this? Let me just do this.
You go up to view.
Okay.
It
well.
Will give you an option.
Oh, hold on. View. Freeze, right?
Uh-huh.
Not freeze panes. Freeze top.
Okay, that should be that one.
Freeze top row.
Oh, but that's the top row.
Yeah, it's still not.
Oh, is it?
Top row was blank. That's why.
Yeah.
You need to put your cursor in the first row that you want to be able to scroll.
Okay, let me just do this way. Let me just hide these. Just do this. I don't want to. Oh, I just want to hide these. So now you can see. Tybee Island, when Peter sent me the rankings, he only ranked three projects because he's not familiar with the other projects. So he ranked Garden City and US 80 bridges replacement and I-16. So when I did the tabulation, so basically all the other projects, these three projects, because 11 people ranked it, so the final score actually divided by 11, but all the others, because we only got like 10 people ranked, so it divided by 10. So that's how you got the average. Okay. Yeah, so that's how you got the average. So now you can see the US 80 bridges ranked number one, I-16 at Jim Deloach as ranked number two. Garden City Project, Signal Project, number three, City of Savannah Traffic Control Center, number five, and then Chatham Air Transit, number five, City of Savannah, number four. So right now, I think we probably would need a meeting after the TCC and probably after MPO board. So for the TCC to meet again to allocate funds based on these rankings, but for this meeting, we would just try to show you the results of the ranking. So if you accept it, and that should be fine. And then the third part is the, no, the third part is the 301. For the 301, we actually only received two applications. Both of them are from Chatham County. One is Chavis Road Improvement. Another one is a Girard Avenue Improvement Project, and Chavis Road ranked higher. So I think for this meeting, I would just ask the TCC member to just adopt this prioritization ranking for all three different sets of ranking criteria and the projects. And then we will have a later meeting to really discuss how to allocate the funds based on this ranking. And for the other projects that MPO don't have control over the funding, my suggestion is that we will just accept the cost spend one of 2045 plan as the priority, because those projects have already gone through the 2045 MTP prioritization process. So if they are already in cost band one, we would consider them priority projects. But in more detail, and for these three parts of money which we have authority for prioritization, we would just use this. For example, for 301, we would say number one is Chavis Road, and number two is Girard Avenue. Would that be okay with everybody for the T prioritization? Hello?
It works for me.
Well, recognizing, of course, that these are initial priorities and we have to meet again or discuss in the future how those fit into a program of projects that fits the available funds. So just because I come out 1, 2, 3, 4 order here doesn't necessarily mean that's how they wind up in the TIP.
Yeah, especially I think I can show you the Z230 one. It's very complicated. Because a lot of these, like City of Savannah's Traffic Control Center is requesting funds in fiscal year 2021. Garden City is also requesting funds in 2021. But we already have projects programmed in 2021, which are based on previous call for projects like Project Durain and the Lesseps Avenue. So we really need to have a separate meeting just dedicated to like how to allocate the funds to which year. So maybe City of Savannah, this traffic control center probably cannot get the funds in 2021. So it might get, and the Garden City, the engineering, this signal project already got the HIP funds for the preliminary engineering. So it doesn't need funds for Z230. So it just, and also the I-16, at Jimmy Deloach Parkway, that one also got HIP funds. So even if it's ranked high in Z230, it doesn't need Z230 funds in 2022 or 2021. So it just, we really need to have a separate meeting to dedicate that.
So, Wycota, when I just want to clarify, or when you say a separate meeting, are you suggesting that we dig in at our next regularly scheduled meeting, which would be October, or are you saying that we might need a special called meeting?
Special called meeting. We would need a special called meeting because on the status report, we have an item for the TIP development. So if we stick to this schedule, we need to adopt the TIP in December. That means I need to have a draft report ready in later half of September. So we do need to finalize the list. Yeah.
It's the review cycles that are driving
yes.
that.
Yes.
Okay. So when would that meeting need to take place?
Probably at the beginning of September. I would try to schedule the meeting.
Okay. We're going to need to coordinate because probably going to have some project advisory committee meetings as well. So we'll just need to coordinate and make sure that whatever schedule we have makes sense, realizing that we may have individuals that are on both. Needing to attend both meetings. Maybe we can take you back or something.
Yeah, and then also that meeting can talk about the project list and the revenue projection, the information that GDOT sent us. So we normally, when we receive information from GDOT, we do have to like have a coordination meeting to talk with all the local jurisdictions about their projects anyway. So it's starting to
sound like we might be ordering lunch.
Yeah, so we will have a meeting probably in early September. I'll try to schedule.
Okay. Does anyone have any, Wycota, I'm sorry, were you finished? Is that the entirety of your presentation?
I'm done,
okay.
Yes.
Were there any questions for Wycota? Okay, hearing no questions.
This is Nathaniel.
Yes, Nathaniel.
Hey. I thought I could be wrong because obviously Pamela deals with most of this now, but weren't the HIP funds actually already approved by the board? They would just need, or where do those stand? Because I was under the impression those were awarded.
Those are awarded. So that means, for example, the I-16 at Jim Deloach Parkway is already got HIP funds in 2021.
Yeah.
So it probably won't need funds in 2020, won't need Z230 funds in 2021. Okay.
So there's no negotiating on those were done based on
those were
past
done.
Board action.
Yeah,
this is really looking to allocate the 230 and the TA funds.
Well, part of the HIP funds probably still, we might have some extra HIP funds to allocate, yes.
Right, okay. the priorities, it's good to have them in place in case that happens.
No, I understand. I thought we had already... the HIP funds that were fixing to expire, whatever. I thought we had already approved those, but
we got 2018, 2019, and the 2020 HIP funds to allocate. So we allocate some funds to the Garden City one and allocate some funds to the I-16 at Jim Deloach one, but we still have some extra funds to allocate.
Gotcha.
And so we already decided that we will allocate the funds to the Tybee Island US 80 bridges replacement, but that project has been split into three. So we need to decide like how much to which.
I guess what I really should have asked, and I'd be the 16 projects funded with the HIP funds that were previously approved. Is that?
Yes.
In FY21?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I needed. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Were there any questions for Mark? Oh, that's okay. Is this Leon?
Yes. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Wycota, can you send out the ranking piece of it? I've got, but can you send out the sheet you have on your screen and have that also in that sheet have the funding, expected funding for the fiscal years? I think it's on a different part of your agenda today. I think that would be beneficial for everybody to have to look at and walk through to help the group decide what they're going to allocate funds to.
You mean this sheet that I have over here?
Yes, but then you also, we've got the expected 230 funds. You did a compilation of everything that's coming through,
yes.
Irrespective, but if we could just have the 230 piece in there, that would help people, you know, understand what we could allocate through the fiscal years.
Yeah, the Z230 and the 301, we have a little bit of complication because that's why I think if we want to adopt the TIP in December, that might be the earliest that we can do it, because the like Project Drain and the Delesseps Avenue, we probably will have to request the previous funds allocate to them in the current TIP to be moved with them to this one. Otherwise, they will really get the funding allocation more complicated for other projects. So we at first we need to work out with GDOT what we're going to do with these two projects, like for the Z230. Because these funds are already allocated to them in the current TIP, but we are talking about the next TIP. So it's a little bit complicated right now.
Yeah, well, is it, and Tom or you guys may want to chime in, when it comes to Delesseps, though, isn't it still technically sitting in FY20?
No,
from a TIP standpoint. Well, 2021.
Depending on whether you can deliver.
We're going to deliver. My question is, though, because we did have that discrepancy previously, if I was mistaken, unless I'm mistaken, about what fiscal year those funds were sitting in. Am I wrong, Tom?
So the FY18 through 21 TIP, and Makota can help, you guys moved it to 21, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
So technically, it's good, it's safe. It's in the FY18 through 21 TIP, again, which is the existing one, right? As FY21, so, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So it just if these two projects can deliver by September the 30th, and we will have a like better picture of how much really how much Z230 funds we will have in fiscal 2021, so that we can
get to the Delesseps. That doesn't mean you have till June 30th, because it's a special case, right? You got a TIP that's going to be replaced with another one, so you have to authorize these funds under the 18 through 21 TIP.
Right, but not the Duren funds. Those funds were already FY21 funds. They don't have to be authorized by September. They have to be authorized before June 30 of next year.
If that is the case, and Duren will participate with the, like competing with the fiscal 2021 funds with all the other projects in 2021.
Okay, well, it was already programmed as an FY21 project.
So that
yes, it was programmed because the TCC and the PC voted for having all the funds, basically C230, to the rent on FY2021. Leon is correct, and White Court is also correct, because those funds, once we get the package for 21-24 TIP, they tell us how much money we have. So basically, we already allocated the 21, and that's what White Court wants to say. You know, so they're going to go to the projects that they need to go. So that conversation, we can have it in our next meeting, because we need to figure out how we're going to allocate the rest of the money.
Yeah, because when we have the fiscal 2018 to 2021 TIP, the revenue estimate for fiscal 2021 is the total is like $7 million. But right now, for this new TIP, the total revenue is five. You can see. So the federal portion is $4.4 million. So basically we have less less money in fiscal 2021. So if we are going to, we still want to allocate all of that to Project Drain, and then City of Savannah wants to still have the right of way authorized by June 30th of next year, you need to come up with even more additional local funds, because we just don't have as much money based on this new revenue projection.
So what I'm hearing is very valid question, and it might take another little special folks getting on a team meeting to kind of work through this, right?
Yes.
To dig into the details, but it's a very, very valid question, and it's the next thing for us to probably sooner than later, right?
Yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Were there any other comments or questions? Hearing none, let's see. I think we're going to need to shift the screen back to the agenda, Julie. Thank you. Okay, Wicota, did you need an action, any other action from us on this other than planning for the future meeting?
We need action to approve the prioritization, the rankings.
Okay. So the recommended action is to approve the priority rankings as guidance to programming, as guidance to eventually or ultimately programming the projects into the next TIP. Do we have a motion? Okay, I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the TIP priorities as guidance to the next TIP. Do we have a motion?
This is Pete from Tybee. I'll make a motion to approve.
Thank you. We have a motion on the floor. Do I hear a second?
This is Pam Everett on behalf of Melanie Wilson. I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. The third item on the agenda. George?
Yeah, I somehow I've lost the screen. Apparently you can hear me, but I don't see the screen anymore.
Julie, is there anything that we can do? Seems to be I'm going to go ahead with the agenda. I'm not quite sure what the technical issue is.
I've got the printed agenda, so I can follow along.
Okay, good, George. Thanks. Item three is amendment to the FY 2021 Unified Planning Work Program. And I'm going to ask Julie to share my screen now. Let's see.
That's still my screen.
Right. I haven't clicked to approve it. Okay. I hope it's sharing. Okay. The purpose of this proposed UPWP amendment is to modify the scope of sub-element I.4, which is from the illustrative studies unfunded section of the UPWP that we first reviewed, I guess, late last year at the MPO meetings and was formally adopted, I believe, in February, if memory serves. And Wicota can feel free to correct me if I got that wrong. But initially, the way this task was envisioned, we were planning on doing the congestion management process update in-house. Stephanie Rossi was planning to manage the project, and we were viewing this primarily as a data acquisition task to fill in any identified gaps, because we had several significant gaps in the previous congestion management process update. For those of you who hadn't heard, unfortunately, Stephanie Rossi is no longer with the MPC. So recognizing that fact, we thought that it would be the best thing that we could do to maintain schedule would be to adjust the scope for consultant assistance on the project in addition to potentially data purchase as well in that process. So this proposed UPWP page reflects the shift from merely a data acquisition to consultant support on the project. What we would like to do, what we're recommending doing, if we get approval from the MPO board, is that we would make application to the Georgia PL Funds Review Committee in September and try to get some discretionary PL funds to perform this task. MPC would provide the local match. We have an estimate at this point of $250,000 on it. If we don't need all that, we won't spend all of that, of course. But the PL funding requests are due September 11th by close of business to Georgia DOT. And then the Georgia PL Funds Review Committee will meet later in the month and make the formal requests. So what we would need to do is have this amended into the UPWP as an illustrative project. We would need to get a resolution of support from the MPO board, and then we could go and request the funds and get started. So what we are looking for, what we're requesting today, rather, from the committee is endorsement to the MPO policy board of the amendment to the UPWP to modify the scope of this task. Scope and budget, rather, I should say.
Hey, Mark, question. I don't know if I heard you well, but today it's going to be an endorsement of including this unfunded item to the UPWP, right?
As an continuing to be an illustrative item, continuing to be unfunded until potentially after a funding award would hopefully be achieved in September, and then we would come back for another amendment to move it into the funded portion of the UPWP.
Okay, so in the rules of the GAMPO, they have told us that we need like two rounds of meetings, so it means that today is in the informational meeting, so everybody knows, and then in the next round of meetings will be the approval to get the resolution, to which that will go to the next GAMPO meeting.
Well, and that can be a point of interpretation that we discuss. I was taking the in order to stay on schedule, I was hoping that we could count the initial discussion of this item about 6 months ago as the first meeting.
That's
something we're open to talking about, certainly. I'm sorry, go ahead, Vivian.
Yeah, I remember Stephanie presented it, but I don't remember if they say specifically you guys are going to apply for the GAMPO. I could be mistaken. I don't remember exactly.
No, everything in the unfunded section is a potential GAMPO application. That was the intent. We created the section, the unfunded section we created when we started doing the calls for plans and studies. Those really were targeted for the
I just don't want to give you expectations, because those rules are GAMPO rules, and they asked to have two rounds of meetings. So as long as you are into those two rounds of meeting, those are not GDA rules, by the way.
I understand. So the question then becomes, can you do a significant scope change during the process? You know, can you, between your first and second meetings, can you?
Get
the big data purchase, and then can you then pivot in between, so that by the second meeting you're talking about, well, it's a data purchase, but it's full consultant support. It's just that we find ourselves, unfortunately, shorthanded. We had on our schedule to get the CMP started this fall. I'm not in a position to do that, unless we go this route. And if we have to wait, then we'll wait till the spring. That's you know, I'm just trying to keep things moving. So,
yeah, but, you know, it's a good question, I think, for the GAMPO person, you know. Yeah.
This is Anne Marie to add to Mark, to add to what Vivian was saying. When I sat in on the last meeting talking about the CMP, it was my understanding as well. It wasn't really asking your committee. It was a, you know, this is where we are versus GAMPO's rule, where it needs to be presented as a special study prior and get endorsement from the committees to go to GAMPO. In its current status,
I'm sorry, are you speaking of the June, you're talking about Stephanie's progress report at the June meeting?
Yes.
Right. No. And I wasn't referring to that. I was referring to, there was more discussion of the data purchase aspect of it at the time that we were.
When we do the call for studies.
Is it just me or the audio is messing up?
Yeah, I can hear you very well though.
I can't hear anyone. I just heard you, Vivian, but I can't hear Mark or anyone else.
Yeah, Mark, we can't hear Mark. I don't know what happened.
Mark, are you still talking? I cannot hear Mark either.
Yeah, I can hear you, Wakoda.
Yeah, so is he still talking?
I can't hear him.
This is George. I can hear everybody but Mark.
Yeah. Where's that chat box? We need to send the chat box to Mark. He's talking.
So that's what that, okay. I wonder what that was.
Okay, he's having audio issues right now.
Wakoda?
Yes.
Mark's headset went out and he's trying to switch sound, but he's unavailable or he's not able to access it quite yet. So you might want to move on until he's able to. I think he is chatting right now, just saying his sound went out, but he's trying to get it back on, but it might be a minute. Can you come back to that one, I guess, until...
Well, the next several items are his items, so.
Well, I'm back.
Oh, he's back.
That's good.
My headset cut out. I don't know why. I'm going to go into a protracted troubleshooter. Somebody was calling on the cell phone, too. It doesn't really help. Sorry about that, folks. So, anyway, let's try to wrap up that item on this. So, that was the question. We had more detailed discussion at the UPWP development and adoption meetings. Somebody needs to mute their. I'm fine now. Don't know why. Cut out. Thanks. So anyway, that was the argument that we were using to count this as our second meeting. Detailed discussion 6 to 8 months ago during the UPWP development adoption. We did have a a staff turnover situation, decided to change the scope. So I, you know, was optimistically hoping that we can go ahead and apply for funding, because we know that we're probably going to be hiring someone much more entry level who might be able to do the work in-house. So there it is. So that was.
Is he gone again?
Mark, are you still talking?
Yeah, I think it went out again.
Oh.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
I can hear you.
Okay. So that's the crux of the matter. To sum it up, we had a detailed discussion 6 to 8 months ago during the, at least one during the development of the DWP. In that time, we had staff turnover. We know that we're going to be hiring someone much closer to an entry-level position than someone with Stephanie's assistance. So we don't foresee being able to just pick this up and do it in-house in the foreseeable future. So we're optimistically hoping to go ahead and get this initiated. This as our second discussion meeting, which would line us up for a funding request in September. But if you know, it's a matter of interpretation. Can we change that scope? It's the process. And if you can't change the scope, then we would have to wait till spring. So that's the crux of it. Is there any discussion?
Yeah, I think it's just it is whether GDOT and the Federal Highway Administration are okay with this approach.
Well, I mean, there's two ways we can go. We can back down, or we can just give it a shot and let them say what they want to say about it.
This is Anne-Marie again. It was really, really hard to follow along in terms of what's going on with the CMP, because Mark keep going in and out, so it was really hard to follow along for me in the federal highway side to give a decision. Are you able to summarize, Wakota? Because it seemed like we can hear you, but Mark is kind of going out in terms of the signal is really, the connection is really bad with Mark. Are you able to summarize what we're asking today regarding the CMP based on what Vivian had said? Is this needed to have go through two rounds of TCC and policy, and I concur with Vivian. And there's also some modification to the scope, which the scope modification is usually at the PL committee level. So what is it that we're discussing here, and what it is that you want Federal Highway and GDOT to agree or disagree on?
I think what he was talking about is we talked about the CMP development about 6 months ago when Stephanie was here. At that time, the scope was for data purchase. So he wants to count that data purchase discussion as the first discussion, as the first meeting for the CMP update. So this time we're just changing the scope, but still, it's still the CMP. So he wants to count this meeting as the second one.
Still data collection. I mean, there still will be data, but in addition, because we've had the staff turnover, because we don't foresee having someone on board with Stephanie's experience that could just pick it up the way that she was planning to in-house, we're trying to bridge that gap by rescoping and keeping on schedule by trying to submit this in September. That's the rationale.
So this is Anne-Marie again. So isn't one of the activity in the CMP, wouldn't that be given that there would be data collection, because a big part of the CMP is data collection. So wouldn't that just be one activity in the scope? It wouldn't be the entire scope. It would just be one activity under the scope.
I think we lost him again.
No, you didn't lose me. I'm trying to make sure I'm thinking about this, the injuries is posing it. So in a normal congestion management process, yes, data is one piece of it.
We lost you again, Mark.
No, I'm here. You can't hear me?
I wasn't hearing you until you said I'm here.
Oh, no, I was sort of echoing what Anne Marie said, that yes, data collection or data acquisition is one piece of a broader congestion management process scope.
I'm a bit confused. This is Amber again. I'm a bit confused with the word scope and activity. I'm really confused on that. So the scope, data collection is one activity. So are we on doing this activity? Because I said I don't want to not say anything, being the federal highway representative and being on this call, and something got like, okay, it got moved through. And even though I was on the call, I didn't say anything. I want to take this opportunity to say what it is, but it's really hard to understand what it is that we want here. It's really, really hard for that. And I know it's 3 o'clock right now, and we still have a long way to go on this agenda. What do we want to do? Because I cannot understand what it is that we're trying to do with this, with the CMP. We need to do a CMP update, but it's hard to say what it is that the MPO staff is wanting from us.
We are proposing to amend the UPWP to adjust the scope of this task from the data piece that was in the initial UPWP as adopted to basically being full support, consultant support, of which data is just one piece.
Okay, so to understand, so you brought in that you're down a staff, and the staff that you had, this is Anne-Marie again, that the staff that you had, Stephanie, she was capable of doing this in-house. So what you're saying now that you're taking it and getting consultant service to do the actual plan, and that would include doing the data portion of it as well.
Yes, basically. We know that we're not going to have someone with Stephanie's experience. We don't expect that her replacement is going to be able to do it in-house, but she...
Okay. Okay, so you're trying to add the data component, the component that you would have done in-house. You're trying to add the data component as well, data collection component as well to the scope.
Well, no, the data was always there. We're trying to add additional consultant. I mean, we're going to go to, you know, data consultant to get the data, but we're going basically for full support to get a consultant to do the congestion management process stuff rather than just feed us data and have a staff.
Okay. And then you would do the plan. Okay. So that's pretty much what I was saying. You were going to, okay, so kind of set it in reverse.
Trying to stay on schedule, trying to stay on the same schedule.
And we really do appreciate that that you guys are trying to stay in on schedule. So there need to be some discussion, because the last discussion it was kind of separated in terms of what you would have gone out for PL funding for versus. Right. So there need to be a whole start of conversation. So this, I wouldn't count it as a conversation, because you can see where we're going back and forth. I would start it over again as a whole new set of conversations. So I would just recommend moving it further down instead of trying to go after it for September and moving it into the spring, because this is a start of a conversation, and you can see how long it's taking for us to understand what it is that you're asking for. So now that we have a better understanding, to make it where we're just putting the entire CMP out for consultant services, not just, originally we're just going to put a piece of it out for consultant services, but now we want to put the entire thing out for consultant services. So I think to be transparent, I think this entire process need to start over, and you go through your round of meeting to get that conversation, to bring that to the various committees.
Okay. When you say start over, does starting over begin at a future date, or is this the start?
I wouldn't count this as two. I would just count this as one.
Okay, this is the first meeting. That's what I was trying to get at. Okay.
Yes.
So that could be lined up for spring. I mean, I think that's fine. I mean, I think it still keeps us on a good schedule to update the congestion management process before the next plan update. I think we can still do that. So I have no problem with that at all. So, but then there still is a singular matter on the table, which is this agenda item, which is simply an amendment to the illustrative section of UPWP. There was a separate, Julie, could you put the agenda back up, please? Julie? I want to make sure I'm not putting this wrong.
Mark, if you shrink your screen down, you should be able to see, it.
Oh, that's I have a control pod, but I don't have the agenda.
Julie, can you take away screen sharing from Mark, please?
Perfect. Oh, that's black now. There it is. Okay. So, can you scroll a little bit further down the agenda so I can see what the next items were? That's better. Okay. So we have what I want. The reason I wanted to look at this is to point out we have two separate items for consideration on congestion management process today. This one is simply an amendment to the unfunded section of the UPWP, which I think could still be considered favorably. Although it looks like item five, which would actually be the resolution of support to the Georgia Appeal Funds Review Committee, the item that would advance this project for the funding request, the five may have to be tabled then. So is there any heartburn about going ahead and finalizing the EPWP amendment if we drop item five?
Mark, it's Anne-Marie again. So based on item five, resolution and the word resolution, where you're adopting something to support for congestion management process, and the two actual activities are PL funding application. So that's you going to the committee. So you're planning on going to the committee in September, correct? And then the other item, resolution for illustrative project.
No, that's not correct. What I said was if we drop item five, they take that off the table. We understand it's the consensus that it's too soon to apply for funding. Does anyone have any heartburn with going ahead and amending the UPWP at this meeting? Or do you want that to come back for future meetings as well? since this is meeting number one, it seems to me like we could go ahead and amend that section of the EPWP, recognizing that we're not going to consider item five. We're not going to apply for funds right now. That goes away.
So are we back to agenda, to item three?
We never left item three.
It's okay. Just
what I'm saying is item three is only a UPWP amendment. It is muted.
For the CMP.
Right. The intent, the reason for doing it was so that you could also do item five. But if we take item five out of the picture, I don't see why we can't go ahead and amend the UPWP at this meeting. I mean, it's really two separate issues.
Okay.
Because really what you're discussing, the PL application, you're actually discussing item five, saying mm-hmm. it's too soon to apply for that. But I think we could go ahead and pass three if it's the pleasure of the committee without venturing into the actual funding application, which is later on the agenda.
And that would be revising the scope of the CMP.
It would be in this, it would be in an illustrative sense, yes. But until you apply for, I was just trying to see if we can not have to make it two item. We've never required two meeting cycles to amend UPWP before, especially in the illustrative section.
Okay, again, because we're spending a whole lot of time on this. So for clarification, you want us to give you approval authorization to do something. And based on item three, bullet CMP, UP. For what?
To amend the UPWP only with the page that we just showed. And that's it.
To do what? So, to do what?
That's what was on the page. To basically characterize the update as a consultant project.
Mark, can you pull the resolution up to look at it?
But we're not considering the resolution. That's not going to be considered.
Yes. He has already scrapped an item number five.
Item five is off the agenda.
Yeah, it's off the agenda. So he just basically updates the UPWP.
It's a related but separate issue.
Yeah.
Well, the question now is, can we amend the UPWP in one meeting, or does it have to be a two-meeting process? Because we're creating, what I'm hearing is we're creating sort of a linkage that says if there's a chance that you may apply for PL fund, everything in the UPWP is PL funded, by the way. So are we saying that there is a discretionary situation where for some projects you have to have a two meeting cycle, but mostly we've just done one meeting cycle for a UPWP, just a UPWP amendment? Nobody's going to talk to the PL fund review committee on this project, except if I guarantee. So is a UPWP amendment for a PL-funded project, which, by the way, is the whole UPWP, is that a two-meeting process, or is it what we've always done, or what we've always done at this point?
It's one meeting. UPWP amendment is one meeting process, yes.
It's one meeting. So what is the point? What is the issue?
You guys, this is Tom. What's critical path on this? When was the last one adopted? What is the requirement of when the next one has to be adopted? And that, drives.
Tom, I'm still chairing the meeting. I will let you talk, but the critical path is process. The critical path is, what is the process? Okay, what do you have to say?
No, it's actually, when do you need this adopted by to maintain federal compliance with the FHWA for the planning process? What's your adoption date for the next CMP update?
There's no deadline. There's no federal deadline at all.
So how is how are we being driven down this emergency path that we have to have this thing in September for the money? That's all I'm going to say.
Nobody's driving an emergency path. I'm simply trying to keep it on the original schedule as intended. Wait, I'm no longer trying to keep it on the original schedule.
Okay, so what's next on the agenda?
I'm trying to hold to the convention that a UPWP amendment can be.
What's next on the agenda?
Go ahead and do that. I beg your pardon?
What's next on the agenda?
That's out of order.
I think what Mark's suggestion is that we can adopt the UPWP amendment to expand the CMP scope at this meeting, and then we count this meeting as the first discussion for the resolution to support the CMP, and then we will have a future meeting to discuss it again and also on the scope, and then we would do the funding application in March. So basically, this meeting just to pave the way, just to do the UPWP amendment to pave the way for the next meeting.
So you're going to call for a motion on the floor?
I'm going to call the question. The committee can vote as they see fit. Do I hear a motion to approve the UPWP amendment? Okay. Who's our parliamentarian? Pam? Are you? I'm hoping somebody's a better parliamentarian than I am, because I've never had this happen. What should happen next?
Well, if no one motions, you can ask for the motion again. It dies. Yeah, it would die for lack of a motion.
Okay, so it dies for lack of a motion. Item 4, resolution of support for State Route 307 corridor study. I'm going to need the screen sharing again. Bear with me, folks. I'm dragging the items over for consideration, and we should. Okay, so this is an item that we sort of accelerated into the UPWP at our last meeting. It's a new project in June that we just found out about. WP at that meeting as an illustrative project. So now we're asking for endorsement of the resolution, project funding application to the Georgia PL Funds Review Committee. This is really a project that's been developed between the county. The money is coming from the court, so I will defer any questions to Nathaniel.
What are we looking at? This is Anne Marie. What are we looking at?
You're looking at the State Route 307 corridor study, a PL funding request. Basically, to look at the whole 307 corridor.
Hey, Mark, this is Steve. I had to step away for a little bit. You on number 4?
We are on 307. Study.
I don't know if it's just me. Your audio is in and out a little bit. You're not
yeah,
very loud.
It just sounds like he's thinking through stuff as we're going, and it's just really, it's a little bit irritating at this point.
It's up and down and not very loud.
Yeah. Yes, David, it is number four.
Thanks, George.
Well.
So,
Mark and Nathaniel, what are we supposed to be doing with this thing?
Yeah, so I don't know if Nathaniel wants to talk, but...
This is the second meeting we've gone through this project, so this should be, hopefully this is the approval to actually send the application in to GAMPO at the September meeting. I believe this was discussed.
Okay. What's going on?
I'm off
the wireless here.
I believe all we need is a motion to approve, a second, and then we can move on to the next item. But I can answer any questions anyone has.
Okay, so you just wanted to see your application. This is Anne-Marie Day with Federal Highway. You just wanted to see the transmittal to GAMPO for September round of funding.
Yes, ma'am. We're looking for about $200,000 of federal funds for this study. It's going to be a partnership between GPA, GDOT, the county, and then Core MPO will actually be the contracting agency.
And you're looking for approval for this body to go onto your policy for final approval and to take it to the committee for September.
Yes, ma'am.
September funding.
Yes, I believe it was discussed. So this should be step two of the two-step process to be able to meet the requirements to be able to go before GAMPO in September.
Step one was June. We amended it into the UPWP. So this is step two.
It's George. I remember that. So move for approval.
Second from Nathaniel.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? The ayes have it. Agenda, please, Julie. Julie? Let's see, we're pulling item five. Item six is Waikato's participation plan updates for virtual public involvement.
Okay, I'm not going to, I don't need to screen sharing on this. I'll just talk about it because we did the participation plan and the Title VI plan update, and we adopted all the updates in August of last year, August 2019. But unfortunately, the COVID-19 hit us in March. So we got to have all these like virtual meetings and virtual public involvement. So it seems like we have to update the participation plan and Title VI plan again, because because we have a visually impaired people and the deaf people, and we found out it's like GoToWebinar doesn't work for ACAT. So it's just we need to update the participation plan and the Title VI plan again. So we want to start that process to accommodate the virtual public involvement. I actually don't think this needs a action item, but Mark told me to just get TCC input on this. So get your authorization so that we can start the update again. And participation plan, Title VI plan update needs 45-day public involvement period. So that's about it. I mean, action would be get authorization from the MPO board. So the TCC would be like endorsement so that we can start.
Not just authorization. We take victims or volunteers to participate with staff in the process. So we would also be looking for anyone that's interested in participating in a more detailed level with Waikota and other MPC staff as we update those.
Hey,
Kayla. I'm happy to assist Waikota in that process, especially related to digital technology for public involvement.
Kayla? Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we are clearly in our infancy of digital public involvement here at MPC. So this is timely. Is there anyone else that would like to participate?
I have a question for you, Waikota. It's Anne-Marie, Federal Highway again. I know it's kind of a standard where the participation plan is a line item in your work program. So was there activities or anything identified in your FY21 work program to include in, because this is pretty much updated, was there a line item to do that?
I don't think so. This is response to COVID.
Yeah.
This is really, you know, we're a little bit behind because we've gone out with the digital meetings and some public involvement, and so we need to catch up our processes to reflect what's going on. No one foresaw the pandemic.
I was just asking, you said no, there's not a line item in your, was there language for updating, anything to say? Because we, one of the things we want to make sure that the activities that you're doing is consistent to what you have in your UPWP. So was there any activity in your UPWP to update your participation plan?
In the UPWP, participation plan is included in the community outreach and education. We actually didn't have, I don't think we have any language to say that we're going to update the participation plan in this fiscal year, because we already adopted the participation plan last August. So we didn't foresee at the time that this COVID-19 would happen.
So one of the things, again, then I would recommend in going back and looking at your work program to ensure that there's specific activity to do this, to be consistent with the work that you're going to be doing and building for, because you're billing against your activities in your UPWP. So you want to go back, and this a part of this conversation then should have been what we have in the current UPWP and what it is that we need to do, and ensuring that the language that is consistent, that the activity is consistent, because when we go down to the reimbursement part of it and there was never an activity in your UPWP, you don't want to have any issues. So again, a part of that larger conversation should be amending your
UPWP,
doing administrative modification to include update to your participation plan to accommodate public virtual public meetings.
We can do that. Probably just do administrative modification to the fiscal year 2021 UPWP, because we adopted the UPWP in February, and then the COVID-19 started in March. We can add some language indicating that we are going to update the participation plan for the virtual public involvement due to COVID-19. And we can add that language in the UPWP.
It's probably, without having the page in front of me, it's probably some general wording about maintaining the plan, nothing as specific as doing an update for something as specific as virtual public involvement. So it probably allows us to do a little bit, but it would be timely to go back and make sure that the scope or the description does indicate specifically what we're doing now. Or preparing to do, rather.
Yeah, it wouldn't need a UPWP amendment, so it's just admin modification, so just revise the language a little bit. So.
Yeah, whatever your, this is Anne-Marie again, whatever your internal process is, amendment to the UPWP is not a federal requirement. So whatever your internal process is, when you're going in and you're making change to that document, you would just follow your existing process.
Yeah.
It just follows a typical meeting cycle. Okay, so does anyone want to frame that into anything for the committee to act on, or we just want to take that as general guidance and move on? I think we'll just take that as general guidance.
Agreed.
Okay. Moving on to other business, Julie, can you scroll us down a little bit?
Hey, Mark, this is Nathaniel.
Yes.
Since we skipped five, do we not need to take some sort of action to remove that since it's part of the agenda?
We can.
You're technically changing the agenda.
Can that stay on the agenda for next time?
You can make a motion to move it to the next agenda.
Continue it to the next meeting.
Continue for reconsideration.
I just think we should do something formal instead of just skipping it.
I'll be happy to entertain a motion to continue it to the next meeting.
So moved, it's George.
Second, Nathaniel.
You have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose? Oh, sorry.
Aye.
Oppose? I got to slow down. Okay, we had all the ayes. Is anyone opposed? Okay. Motion
passes. Mark, for the participation plan, we just got volunteer. The action, do we need action and second for that as well?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Just add them to your list. For the sake of the minutes, who is the volunteer?
Taylor.
Yeah, we, right. Right, we heard. Okay, so is there any other business for the TCC today? Hearing none, we'll move on to status reports. Julie, could you advance the agenda, please? Okay, I'll go off of my printed piece of paper. Julie, you really need to advance the agenda for the attendees, though. I have FY, I'm going off of paper here, folks. I have FY 2021 to 2024 TIP development.
Okay, I need to share my screen on this. Julie, I need to share my screen, okay. So now, I did develop a TIP development schedule just based on what we need to do. So if we adopt the TIP in December, and this is what we need to accomplish. So basically, we already started. I have already advertised for the TIP prioritization public meeting. It will be held at the MPO board meeting next week. So, and we will schedule a meeting with all the local jurisdictions to talk about the projects and the, talking about how to allocate the Z230 HIP funds and Z301 funds. And then I will have a preliminary TIP development and start a 30-day review by Federal Highway Administration, FTA, and GDOT. So this is a very tight schedule. And then after I get feedback on that, I will develop a revised TIP, and then the official 30-day public involvement starts. And that would probably in November. And then the final adoption date would be on December the 9th. So this is all based on the assumption that everything will be all right. Like project during the LSEP's Two Millennium Park Trail Phase 2B will be all right. But if those not be all right, I don't know. I think we'll probably just push the schedule to February. But basically, this is what we have. And also, I sent you the expected revenue. This is the expected revenue for the next 4 years that has been sent to us by GDOT. And I also sent you the file that shows the proposed project list by GDOT. For this one, if you take a look, don't neglect the transit side, because the transit, it includes the planning funds, and that's not necessary to be included. And then CAT will probably provide their program for 5307, 5307, 39, 37, and all the others. And for this project list that is being proposed, I compared this information with our current tip. Most of the information are consistent, but the difference you might see is US 80 bridges replacement to Tybee Island. It has been split into three projects. So two, one is the bridge replacement at the Bull River. Another one is a bridge replacement at La Strada Creek. And then the third project is the roadway in between. And then I was told that this project, actually, there will be a fourth project with the original PI number. It will be like the line item to uphold all these three projects. So just take a look at this, and then at the specially scheduled TCC meeting, we would delve into these projects in more details. So basically, this is just a status report telling you what the development schedule, what the expected development schedule would look like, and then the really, really preliminary draft that we received from GDOT. And when we have the draft tip, the project list might be different from this. That's about it. Any questions?
Any questions for Waikota on the project list? Or anything else about the tip development? Okay, hearing no questions, I'm going to ask Julie to switch us back to the agenda view. Stop sharing Waikota's screen. Okay, our next item is the State Route 21 Access Management Study for Garden City. The status report is that the funds were approved by the Georgia PL Funds Review Committee on March 30th. We received a notice of funding approval on May 27th. We are currently awaiting the funding contract from Georgia DOT. We are working on a memorandum of understanding with Garden City for the local matching funds. I will be presenting to their city council on September 21st. The MOU will go to MPC on either the 1st or the 22nd, I think probably the 1st of September. Once the MOU is approved and fully signed, we can then release the RFP, and we will go from there. We'll probably have it out for about 30 days, have a week or two for internal scoring, and then interview consultants. So it'll put us pretty close to Thanksgiving time, really, I think, by the time we actually have those interviews and select a consultant. Are there any questions about the study? Oh, study committee will be myself, Ron Feldner, George Fiddler, Kayla Brown, Pam Bernard, Cynthia Phillips, Joe Capello, Troy Pittman, and Lauren George with the school board. So that's all I have. I'll be happy to answer any questions. Okay, hearing none, I will move on to the update of the Chatham County Savannah Comprehensive Plan. We have Jackie Jackson, and I believe she needs to share her screen, Julie.
Hey, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, great. To lighten things up a little bit, I just kind of wanted to go over, I had generally presented to you guys some information about timeline for the comprehensive plan update. So I was going to go into a little more detail, not to overload you with a ton of information, but again, just to present the highlights of the plan moving forward and timelines for consideration with regards to transportation and MPO efforts as a whole. As
I think most of you are familiar with, and if not, you know, what is an overall comprehensive plan? What all does that really entail, and what does it mean? What we'd like to say is that a comprehensive plan is our vision for the future for a local government, a local community. Our particular plan, we're calling it Plan 2040, and this is taking us out to the year 2040, of course. So we're going to be looking out for the next 10 to 20 years with regards to goals and strategies for this effort. So specifically for this comprehensive plan, in the past, MPC has been involved for a number of years. The process as a whole is mandated by the state of Georgia under the Georgia Department of Community Affairs. So it is a required effort for the local communities. And what this does when it goes through this process and it is facilitated through the local communities and you get the buy-in, it enables that community to maintain what's called a qualified local government status, or excuse me, your QLG status. And the real kicker for that is really it's a major carrot that allows that community to then gain access to CDBG funds, if you're familiar with those, GFA funds, water sewer loans, and One Georgia Authority funds, to name a few. That's some rural funding. But it really is meant, again, to lay out that roadmap for the future. Our particular comprehensive plan is, as you see here, it's focused around these five specific areas. We're looking at housing, economic development, land use, of course, transportation, and quality of life.
That leaves at six because they're...
I think we're getting some background audio. Sorry, if you may want to mute your phones.
Yes, everyone. Please mute your microphone if you're not speaking.
So real quick, the MPC, as I mentioned, we've been at the table overseeing the specific comprehensive plan for unincorporated Chatham County and the city of Savannah way back since the 1980s. And the last comp plan for unincorporated and Savannah was the last full update was in 2006 with minor amendments in 2012 and 2016. And I will add something that has just come, you know, we just got approval for, is we're actually going to be updating the City of Pooler's comprehensive plan at the same time. So everything that we're talking about here today originally was just for City of Savannah and unincorporated, but we're now pulling in the City of Pooler into these discussions as well. And as you guys know, that's going to be, you know, an important effort to pull that larger growing entity into our overall county discussions. I think it's important to mention, for those that are also familiar with the Chatham County Blueprint and the City of Savannah's Vision Savannah Plan and some of those priorities that list out goals and strategies, all of those plans are being taken into account and being looked at to see how they fit into the overarching goals for the next 20 years as well. But the big part of this that's so important is that it has to be a community process. We have to take it out to our individual communities to get input and feedback with regards to what the next efforts need to look like for the next 20 years. And what this does is it lays out a sense of predictability for the local government, but it also lays out transparency for the community so that it is very clear what the community wants to see and what the elected officials have agreed to move and work on over the next number of years. So what we've got here is a table that the state of Georgia presents that shows all the different plan elements that are actually required in comprehensive plans according to certain criteria being met. So you see the plan element on the left and then the required for stipulations. Well, lucky for us, we meet all of them. So whether we want to or not, we're going to update every single one of these elements that you see here today. So it covers everything from what are our goals and strategies that I've talked about to what is our short-term work program, which is, you guys are familiar with that, of course, those individual projects that we're looking at, as well as your long-term capital projects, and what are those things, and are they being accomplished, and who's accomplishing them, etc. I did want to go back real quick. What I do have mentioned here, and what you won't see is under the state of Georgia's requirements, they do not have requirements anymore for what we are calling quality of life elements. And that's where we are moving into talking about community health, education, public safety, historic cultural resources, natural resources. And we are also pulling in broadband discussion, which is something a little bit different, but that is also, again, a state of Georgia requirement to start looking at. So what I've got here is just the draft elements and table of contents, if you will, for what we plan on presenting for Plan 2040 for unincorporated and City of Savannah and the City of Pooler as well. So it's a pretty robust process. It's a pretty robust plan as well. As I mentioned, there will be a community participation program. Of course, COVID has put a nice kicker into that. So we are going to be doing a lot of virtual efforts with that. My timeline skipped a little bit. As I mentioned, a lot of virtual efforts, a lot of online surveys, as much as possible, getting out into the communities and maybe doing some pop-up discussions within neighborhoods, that type of thing. So we're still figuring that out as things continue to change every day with COVID. But as much as possible, that's why we're out here really starting to pump up the discussion of comprehensive plan as a whole. And one of the big things why I wanted to continue to bring forward the discussion to you guys as well is specifically with regards to transportation, as Mark and Wycota and I and my team working on the comprehensive plan update in itself, as we're going through different elements of our day-to-day review as well, and writing the document, et cetera, and coming up with goals, I've listed a number of items here that I think are pertinent to the discussion. And I think something that will continue to come to light with regards to transportation when we start talking about focus areas, specifically sustainability as a whole. Again, looking at economy, society, environment, climate change to include sea level rise, specifically calling out resiliency as well. And we're looking at not just resiliency with regards to climate change, but also just a local community as a whole. Are they able to bounce back when you're talking about economy, society, environment, everything? And then Mark and Wycota and I have specifically started talking about the discussion of TODs when you're talking about really orienting and developing and building up a community focused around transportation. Where should those communities and nodes, if you will, of transportation and neighborhoods be focused? So I think this is something that you will continue to hear from us as we move forward and talk about specific projects or possible projects, really, as well as talking about strategies within the comp plan. So again, just to present the timeline, there has been a couple of updates, and we do have this actually on our website as well. And on the next slide, I'll show you the links to where all of this information can be found. But as a whole, this plan must be adopted completely by October 31st of next year, October 31st of 2021. We are right in this stage, where, as you can see, I start mentioning that we're starting to talk to the MPC and the county and the city and MPO, et cetera, just about the process as a whole and our next few number of steps. As we move into the fall, our kickoff timeline is for October. And then we really, from October through about March, I have on here February, but I'm kind of calling it March, is where we have our community input and that process where we start really developing the content and all of our vision for the next 20 years. And this latter part of 2021 really takes us through the government process, if you will. There's a lot of stipulations and requirements that they must be taken to city and county and MPC back up to the state and then come back. So it's quite an intensive process. So that in itself takes us quite a bit of time. So, but overall, you'll continue to hear this being discussed, hopefully through February, March of next year, with it again kicking off in October. So as I mentioned, kind of some of the big next steps is a larger community survey that we're currently working on internally right now, really kind of quantifying and putting the wording together for the perfect questions to ask the community. And you'll hear, you know, our seed topics on all of those listed below, everything from land use to, as I mentioned, climate change, education. Of course, infrastructure is going to be a big one, but then, of course, as well, public safety and historic culture resources and others. As you can see here, we've got some Instagram. I don't know what you call that. What do you call that? Following stuff. I don't know what it's called. Handle. Sorry, that's what it's called. Twitter and Facebook. You can find us at MPC Natural Resources. And then we've got the comp plan website already up and running and a dedicated phone line and dedicated email address as well for any questions. And that's also where we'll be taking comments from the general public as well. You'll start to see we've got a branding for the whole effort, and it'll kind of have a theme such as this. And again, additional ways to gain input from the community to really find out what the community's goals and strategies for the next 20 years will be. So with that, I'll leave you with that. Sorry, I talked so long, but again, as you guys start to move forward with regards to projects and plans, obviously we're already working with Mark and Wakota on content for the chapters, and we're pulling from y'all's adopted plans for looking at goals and strategies. But I just don't want anyone to forget about how important the process is, and this only comes around every 5 years for updates, so we want to make sure that highly pertinent information is included. And if there's something that you see on the horizon, we would like to get that in there now, of course, because then that really kind of cues you guys up for any type of funding and again that transparent process for the community as well. Any questions?
And this is Anne-Marie Day with Federal Highway. This is not really a question. It's just a statement I wanted to make. And this is mostly for Wakota and Mark. There's a lot of resources available on the Federal Highway website where resiliency and sustainability and all the topic areas that you guys want to discuss. So hopefully you guys are taking advantage of those resources and tools that are available to incorporate as you work on the transportation side of this plan.
Cool.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
Thank you.
Yes, I appreciate that. Jackie, hello. And I were speaking before the meeting, and one thing I observed was these are things that are very, very important, but so often we don't have time to address them when we're busy meeting our own transportation plan, you know, deadlines and such. So we are really psyched to be working with Jackie on the sustainability, the resiliency, you know, and even more optimistically, how can we be a little more transit oriented? So we're looking forward to collaborating with her on her plan, and then hopefully stealing all the good stuff for our next state further down the road. Jackie, always a pleasure. I never quite know when you're finished, so a couple
I know,
of times
sorry. I
tried to jump in, but luckily I was muted.
Hey, Mark, I've got something here. Mark.
Okay. Sure.
It's Ron from Garden City.
Ron, hi, Ron.
I know historically this process has been Savannah and Chatham County, and I see Pooler's been pulled into it. Has there been any thought of bringing Port Wentworth, Garden City, Bloomingdale, and everybody into this process? It seems kind of disconnected that we're tying Pooler back to downtown and stuff.
I could almost say that MPC would probably love to do that, but I'll let Jackie speak specifically.
Yeah. Hey, Ron. Hey. Yeah, absolutely. At this point, all of the jurisdictions within Chatham County have the same timeline and deadlines for updating the comp plan. We have reached out to a couple, and unfortunately, they were already set up with consultants to do those updates. But absolutely 100%. To your point, it makes perfect sense to have everybody under the same umbrella. And that really was done a number of years ago, you know, again, back in the 80s when this first all started. We would love to have that, you know, happen and come to fruition again. And would love to have those discussions for sure, especially if you guys haven't already got anyone set up.
Yeah, we have not formally engaged anybody. We were just knowing it was on the to-do list. So
right, yeah. Exactly. We can definitely I'll reach out to you probably next week if that's cool, if that works for
that's
you guys.
Fine. I just want to make sure we have that conversation.
Absolutely. As you're familiar, we're not working with Bloomingdale. We're assisting Bloomingdale as well. They're using the Coastal Regional Commission for theirs, which is a source for many of the communities. But 100%, we absolutely will have discussions on that. Yep.
Good question. Thanks.
Sure.
Hello, Ms. Jackie.
Yes, hello.
Hey, this is Vivian. Thank you for your presentation. It's great. Hey, for the nerd of me, do you know how you're going to get your information about land use, like in between, like if there's another approach between residential to warehouse uses, you know, since it's like a lot of distribution centers happening and all that growing that is all around your area?
You mean for future or for existing?
Both.
Okay. Well, I know we're going to be working with CEDA, which is the Savannah Economic Development, and they have a lot of that information. But luckily, we also have a great deal of that information in-house because we here at the MPC, most of the development review process actually comes through the MPC as well. So we have access to all of those basically pending development and what has also come through, you know, in the past. So fortunately, we'll be able to handle most of it in-house.
Oh, great. We're eager to see your information.
Oh, gotcha.
Everybody wants to know.
It's going to be so great that everybody's going to want to throw their updates to Jackie next time around.
Well, and it's funny, we're already starting to look at some of those numbers, even with regards to impacts since COVID. You know, we're doing comparisons of last year to this year and just seeing the dramatic difference with even within just the historic district itself. So, and that's more, you know, smaller scale, of course, but we're definitely following those numbers. So, and luckily, like I said, we have most of that access in-house, so it's not too hard to get it.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. I'm not going to keep you more. Thanks.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, always a pleasure, Jackie. There are no other comments or questions for Jackie, though, I'm going to suggest we move on to the GDOT project status report. Troy's still there.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, welcome to the Survivors Club here, Gary. We're almost into the third hour of TCC.
So, Mark, how do you want to do this? I mean, for the sake of time, we can share the screen.
Judy might need to open the attachment.
Yeah, we can open the attachment. And yeah. I think probably it would be unanimous to say everybody probably wants to go about as fast as you comfortably can right now.
Well, I mean, I can go over each one or we can scroll through. And if anybody has any questions about any particular project, I'll try to answer the questions.
Hold on.
That sounds like a good approach. If anybody has any objections, call out a specific project. Just unmute yourself and speak up.
If Judy doesn't open the attachment, just share my screen. I can just open the report. Okay. Go ahead, Troy.
Okay. I won't go over each one, but I will make reference to project number 3 and echo what Wakota said. This project, which is the Tybee project, has been split into 3 PI numbers, one for the Bull River, one for Lazaretta, and then one for the causeway itself. This will allow the Bull River and the Lazaretta Creek bridges to move forward so we can get those replaced and then give us a little bit more time to work through the environmental issues on the causeway. I will note on the LESIPS, the bike and pedestrian enhancements, the right-of-way has been certified on that project. So
that's great to know.
Of course, the interchange at I-95/I-16 and I-16 widening is a design build project. Final plans are roughly 75%. And if you've been in that area, you've probably seen some activities around the interchange, some construction activities. Move to the next page. Any questions about any of these projects? So I-16 at 307 operational improvements, this project was led to a design build consultant in June. Let's see, projects 9 and 10, these are twinned. These are also out of innovative program delivery. They are currently working on the environmental and putting together some costing plans. Let's see. And 12 and 13, these are also worth noting. These are two projects that will be twinned. It's the Back River Bridge project and the approach to the Back River project. We just had the initial concept meeting for this project a couple of weeks ago. So move down to the next. Go down to the next sheet.
You want to go to the action?
Active, yeah, there you go. Yeah. So the Jimmy Deloach Parkway at the US 80 interchange in the extension, it's roughly 55% complete, and we're anticipating this project be completed in fall 21. The Islands Expressway project is roughly 50% complete, and we also anticipate it to be completed in fall of 21. State Route 144 in Bryan County, the widening project there is roughly 65% complete, and we got a fall 20 anticipated completion date. State Route 25 Pipe Makers Canal Bridge replacement is approximately 80% complete, and we're looking at a spring 21 completion.
And that's open to traffic, right?
The pipe makers?
Yeah.
I'm not aware of that, Tom.
Yeah, this is Nathaniel. It's open to traffic.
Okay. Well, stand corrected.
I drove over it last week's
night. All right. State Route 144 at 95, the roundabouts at the ramps. We're approximately 25% complete, and we anticipate a spring 21 completion date. The resurfacing on State Route 25 from Bryan County / Chatham County line to I-516. Work hasn't started on this project, but it has a spring of 21 completion date. Let's see. Move to the next screen. Okay, the resurfacing on State Route 21 from Smith Avenue to Henley Road is approximately 10% complete, and we're looking at a summer 21 completion. And the resurfacing on State Route 30 from F&M County / Chatham County line to State Route 21 is 75% complete, and we're looking at a summer 21 completion.
Hey guys, this is Ned. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I just wanted to add that there were two projects that were recently approved by the GDOT board this morning. The State Route 21 Accelerator project and the I-16 and the Jimmy Loach State Route 17, they were approved this morning by the board, so they'll be official and they'll go into the system and get GDOT PM soon.
Are those lump sum projects?
Those are the projects that had the HIP funds on them, on the PE phases.
Can you repeat what those two projects are?
Yeah, I didn't hear you clearly. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I-16 at Jimmy Loach State Route 17 and the State Route 21 at Priscilla Thomas Way.
So those are the two HIP projects, right?
I thought I heard Priscilla Thomas Way is the second project.
Yes, State Route 21 at Priscilla Thomas Way is the second project, and the other one is I-16 at Jimmy Deloach, State Route 17.
Is that the Signal project?
The Signal project is Statewide 21 and Facility Thomas Way.
Oh, okay.
That's so it's the two HIP projects, HIP funded projects, right?
Oh, two HIP projects. Okay.
Yeah. So just letting you know, the board has to do something before we can put it in the system. You guys gave, and that's happening. So the sponsors should be hearing from a PM soon. We don't know who those folks are yet, but it's moving. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, we already have these two projects in the proposed tip. Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay. Is that everything you had, Troy? Are there any questions on the GDOT project status report from anyone else on the committee?
Yes, that's all I had.
Oh, okay. Well, if there are no additional questions, we'll move on to Chatham County project status report. Nathaniel?
I think Pamela provided the report. I'll just add that by the end of September, we'll have Benton Boulevard and Truman Trail both substantially complete. So those are two important projects we're working on and trying to wrap up. And it looks like Wycota just put the report up. So if anyone has any other questions on any of our other projects, I'd be happy to answer them. But
I did have a question, Nathaniel, about the is there any coordination going on between the city and the county about, I guess, truck access around Benton Boulevard? I was contacted by a group of people that were having sort of an ad hoc meeting to talk about what could be done to get truck restrictions eased up there.
Get truck restrictions eased up?
Yeah, there are some truck restrictions apparently that city has on Highlands. I was not really plugged into it, but I was.
Yeah, that's a city. I mean, the city, I think it was a while ago, and then Steve Henry, if he's still on, can speak to it, but I believe the city passed a truck restriction on one or both of the roads. I don't know.
I think it was both of the roads from what I was hearing.
That's something that you can deal directly with the city with, because when we go through the punch list and turn this over, the portion of the project south of St. Augustine Creek will be conveyed to the city, and the portion of the project north of St. Augustine Creek will be conveyed to Port Wentworth. So their respective jurisdictions will have ownership of the road and any restrictions.
Understood. Okay. Are there any questions for Nathaniel on other projects or any of the projects?
The Truman Linear Park Trail Phase 2A, when is going to be done?
It'll be substantially complete by the end. We're almost there, but to get the cameras and some of the last little bit, we're saying at the end of September that it'll be substantially complete.
Okay, so are you going to have a ribbon cutting or something?
There are discussions of that, but a date has to be determined.
Okay.
Wycota's looking for door prizes.
I'm sorry?
I think Wycota's looking for door prizes.
Yeah, there's not going to be door prizes. This will just be I think there needs to be something to highlight what a future trail network in the city and county can look like. So I'm sure there will be something, but I want to make sure that the project is done and everything's functioning. We don't want to do a ribbon cutting and then lights or cameras or other issues are not working. So we want to make sure we're getting everything functional before we schedule it. But it will. No. There will be something. I've been told there will be something. It's just to be determined.
Well, it looks really great from Truman Parkway, and every time I drive by it, I think, when are we going to see the city's portion of it? But anyway, congratulations on the approaching completion of that. If there were no other questions for Nathaniel, we'll move on to City of Savannah project status update.
I would just open the city. Steve is still there, Steve?
He died of boredom.
Is Steve?
Steve?
Stephen Henry? Yeah.
Steve?
Are you still there?
Is anyone from the city still on?
He left 5 minutes ago.
Okay.
If you have any questions on the written report, I can answer it, Mark.
Oh, great. So we'll accept the written report. And does anyone have any questions
So I just want to make sure the terrain widening, the right-of-way can be authorized by June 30th of next year, and the LSAP's widening construction funds can be authorized by September of this year.
Duran, the
Community
Board.
Well, the EIS, the draft EIS is about to be going through its public process. There should be a meeting for that, a public meeting in PHOH at the end of October, right now, probably around October 20th, which will keep us on schedule for having the ROD early next summer, or actually late next spring, however you want to look at it. And we should be able to authorize right away without a problem before June 30th of next year.
Okay.
On Duran, right away has been certified. The environmental, we've got some archaeology reviews still going on, but we had a meeting this morning with the team with regards to, and my basic question was, can we make it? And whereas most thought we would not have a shot, everybody's pretty much in agreement that we'll be able to submit our 1625. Right now, the schedule is to submit for it on September the 4th. So basically, it's tight, but we are still okay. We should be able to get construction funds authorized.
Okay. So we're meeting all the deadlines, right, as we discussed?
We have. Everything that we've had to hit, we've hit.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks, Leon. We appreciate you stepping in and having authoritative voice on that.
Steve, I have some mic issues. The next one is CAT.
Yes, the next item is the CAT status report.
Who's talking at CAT?
Remember to unmute yourself if you're speaking for CAT. Ashley?
Can anyone hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay. Hi, everybody. This is Ashley Goodrich from CAT. Our project update is as follows. We are working with the FTA on our grant disbursement for a multiple of our projects, which includes the CAT vehicle purchase for paratransit PI0013280, our bus reliability initiative, which is PI15977, our ITS system, which is PI0013273, and a couple of others. We hope and anticipate that we will get these obligated before our next TCC or MPO meeting in October. We've been working with GDOT on potential flex funding for our FTA ferry boat discretionary funds, and we are also moving forward with renovations of the Susie King Taylor ferry boat. The ferry funds for the boat, we've had a few issues in the mechanics side of Buy America and parts distribution, but we still are mostly running on time with that project. Any questions for Kat?
I do have a question. I think last week I got the information that some of the funds lapsed. Right.
That is correct. Unfortunately, at the beginning of August to the end of July, the FHWA and GDOT contacted CAT regarding, I believe it was fiscal year 17, ferry discretionary funds. That project page will need to be updated in the TIP. In October, we did not get the information in time that it was going to lapse before this meeting. We were working with the state and the FHWA throughout the month of August to try to get those funds flexed over. Unfortunately, the deadline passed for those, and they were unable to be flexed. We are still in conversation with our state GDOT planners regarding that, though, and are looking to kind of get some of those numbers finalized before we bring the TIP modification forward.
Okay. Another question is, as you can see, my email chain with you, so I highlighted all of these. So these are all the funds from federal Z230 funds, Z00M funds that we flexed to FTA from FHWA flex to FTA. So all these funds are in their application system, because I calculated it's more than $6 million, only the federal portion, more than $6 million. You need to apply and use all of these funds. Are these all in your system right now?
Yes, ma'am. So we right now through FTA Trans have upwards to $25 million in okay. federal funding being worked towards obligation. Our CARES funding has been obligated. That's a $10.7 million number. It's not in the TIP. We have $14 million of capital projects and discretionary funds. That's mostly all of the Z230, M301, and M230 funding. Those are in final review at the Department of Labor right now with the FTA. And then our apportionment grants, the 5307, the 5339, and the 5303, the last apportionment, those are all also in FTA review. There should be going to the Department of Labor, I would expect, by the end of this week.
Okay, great. I just don't want to see the funds lapse again. So that's
Wakota, could you show again real quick exactly what lapsed, or send that out to the committee? Because the committee ultimately made the recommendation. So the committee needs to understand. Yeah, what exactly? I would like you to share that with the committee.
Let me describe the lapsing funds a little bit more. The lapsing funds in particular that lapsed in August were specifically for the ferry boat discretionary program. Those go to the state from Washington, and it is strictly for passenger ferry. Those are distributed across the state where CAT has a certain amount of discretionary funds with the ferry project. Those funds that lapse, essentially the state can decide whether they're going to reobligate them to CAT or they're going to put them back in the full for other ferry programs such as upriver and other places.
So those are not the Z230 or Z00M funds that we flexed, right?
That's correct. Everything that is a roads discretionary flex has been flexed over and is working through obligation in TRAMS right now as we speak.
Mm-hmm. So
I hope that clarifies.
Okay. Would that be okay with you, Tom?
Yeah, you're doing a good job, Okuda, of keeping us, the committee, apprised, not just the TCC, but the policy committee, because they ultimately, except for this one you're talking about lapsing, the rest of these are all funds that they made a decision and voted, so we need to keep them up to breast of where those decisions were made whole. Thank you.
Yeah, so these are the funds that we flexed to CAT, and right now they are sitting with FTA for review.
Right. So does anyone who's currently on the call know how long the 2016 funds are good before they might potentially lapse?
The money's at FTA, so that's an FTA question or a CATS question.
Exactly. Yeah, once it's flexed, it's FTA.
So once it's flexed, it's FTA. We had some issues regarding the 2016 funds where with both on the FTA side and at CAT, we've been communicating back and forth with the Atlanta office for FHWA to confirm the actual fiscal years that the funds originated from, not just the fiscal year that they were transferred to the FTA. Part of getting both each individual fiscal year origin and the total amounts in the TRANS application is sort of that chain of, because CAT has waited as long as they have to get those funds obligated, our TIPS basically reflect the current total amount but that further breakdown was a little bit of an issue. So that particular, the N230 funds are sitting, they have been flexed, and they're also sitting in the same level of Department of Labor review with the FTA right now.
I would just suspect that probably the two different 2016 amounts are from different origin years, but that I don't know for sure. We could make that a research project.
Yeah, one of them, this 13277 was moved from fiscal 2015 to 2016. Yeah.
2015. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Essentially, with the FTA, we've gotten all of that broken down and described out in enough detail that the FTA is looking to approve it. We were on the phone with the FTA this morning regarding those funds, and they didn't really see necessarily any more additional issues.
Okay.
We know Ashley inherited this, and we're all rooting for her, aren't we, you guys? Seriously, good job.
We seriously are. We hope they have great success before we meet again.
I sure hope we do too.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Does anyone have anything else for Ashley regarding CAT? Okay. Then that takes us to other public comments. Does anyone have any other public comments? Hearing none. Announcement, the next TCC meeting will be Thursday, October 15th, 2020. We're still at 2 p.m. We're still expecting a virtual meeting unless we've got this outbreak under control. Other non-agenda information for reference is there as usual. I did want to say, since Anne-Marie was interested in one of these items and offered to give a presentation, if she's still on the phone and wanted to speak to it, I wanted to give her that opportunity, although we didn't really actually take her up on presenting. If she wanted to speak to the USDOT AMPO letter, I'd be happy to yield the floor to her if she has any comments.
Hello, it's Anne-Marie. I'm still here. I don't have that letter up. I totally forgot about that. Okay. It's pretty much AMPO was asking for some leniency in terms of adopting UPWP, doing long range, doing MTP updates, conformity determination where Savannah is not in is an attainment region. And our secretary did respond to that letter, and just to say where we don't have the authority to change those are in our laws that we don't have the authority to change. So it was just kind of giving the MPO personnel an opportunity to see the letter that was submitted to GAMPO, and giving the MPO as well to see the response from our secretary. I know that Federal Highway, GDOT, and Savannah, we have a good, somewhat good working relationship. And if anything comes up, we always communicate what's going on. So it's not a problem there. But I just wanted to kind of highlight, to share that response with everyone. But it's nothing that we see happening here, but it's just FYI. This came out. AMPO asked for these concessions, but with the authority that our secretary had, we can't make those decisions because they're already in laws in terms of when, what that process looks like, when those are supposed to be happening. And you guys are still carrying out your meetings. Every MPO here in the state of Georgia, we're still adopting our documents. Since the virus started, we've adopted, on my side and the MPOs that I provide oversight, we've adopted two MTPs. We're conducting our second virtual certification meeting. So we're still moving through regardless. So it was just, I wanted to kind of highlight just in case your MPO participated in AMPO and the conversation around that, and just wanted to see what the response back from our secretary was.
Gotcha. Thank you, Anne-Marie. I actually am on the AMPO policy committee, so I saw the letter before it went on the agenda here, but I think the way we look at it is, you know, you can always ask, but we never assume that we're going to get an exception. So we always try to adhere to the original deadlines. But anyway, thank you for speaking to that. That is our last item on the agenda for this unusually long TCC meeting. I do apologize for all the technical glitches. We got a little bit of a late start with some members that were having trouble with audio. I had to wind up switching my audio device midway through the meeting, and I apologize for that malfunction as well. I can't always tell when, I can't tell on my end when I cut out, so I only hear when people start to grumble about it. So again, apologize, I will not try to use that device again anytime in the near future. And thank you everyone for bearing with us through what's been a pretty long meeting, and I will move to adjourn.
Okay.
Okay, thank you everybody.